This week marks 70 years since the U.S. announced its very first successful vaccine against polio. And most of us only know that story as a black and white photograph of Jonas Salk holding a vial, or even that famous quote about patenting the sun. And yet today, in 2025, the polio story feels more relevant than ever. Childhood immunization rates in several states have dipped below safe thresholds, and public skepticism, even voiced from the very top of government, has questioned vaccines we've relied on for decades. So today on Curie, I want to rewind to the 1950s, a time when a nervous nation had to decide whether to trust a brand new vaccine. And Jonas Salk convinced millions of parents to roll up their children's sleeves. And so 70 years later, his approach feels as relevant as ever. In the summer of 1952, nearly 60,000 people in the US, mostly children, had contracted polio. 3,000 died, and thousands more were permanently paralyzed, with many unable to breathe without iron lungs. Playgrounds were silent, swimming pools had closed, and doctors, while they could manage symptoms, they really didn't have any defense against prevention. Jonas Salk, then 38, was running a modest lab at the University of Pittsburgh at the time, and while most scientists pursued vaccines using weakened live viruses, Salk believed a chemically killed virus would be safer and faster to produce. He was so convinced of its safety that he injected himself, his wife, and even his three young sons before clinical trials had commenced. But moving from his own family to an entire nation required overcoming a different challenge, one of fear. Headlines had warned of little white coffins, and local officials had threatened to pull out of clinical trials. Ultimately, parents needed to be convinced. Salk knew that fear couldn't be calmed by data alone, so he made public trust central to his experiment. First, he spoke plainly. In radio interviews and magazines, he described his vaccine simply as a scarecrow, something harmless yet recognizable enough to teach immunity. He opened his lab to journalists, he allowed photographers to document every safety step, and he knew that transparency could disarm rumors before they spread. He then launched what became the largest medical trial ever conducted. Nearly 2 million schoolchildren across 44 states who became known as the polio pioneers. Each child received either a vaccine or placebo, and Salk openly acknowledged the uncertainty, saying, quote, "We don't yet know if this works, but we do know it's safe," end quote. When the trial results came in, Salk didn't announce them himself. Instead, he had a colleague and respected epidemiologist Thomas Francis deliver the news. And on April 12, 1955, America heard this.
An historic victory over a dread disease is dramatically unfolded at the University of Michigan. Here, scientists usher in a new medical age with the monumental reports that prove the Salk vaccine against crippling polio to be a sensational success. It's a day of triumph for 40-year-old Dr. Jonas E. Salk, developer of the vaccine. He arrives with Basil O'Connor, head of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, which financed the tests. Hundreds of reporters and scientists from all over the nation gather for the momentous announcement. Proudly on hand, too, are Mrs. Salk and the son, who received the first injections. Chief evaluator Dr. Thomas Francis pronounces the vaccine tests up to 90% effective, and modest Dr. Salk answers newsmen's questions.
Relief swept the nation, and within days, vaccinations began nationwide, and by 1957, polio cases had fallen by 90%. The vaccine made Jonas Salk famous overnight. He became a household name and a national hero, and yet his newfound fame came with a price. Some of his scientific peers resented the spotlight that fell on him, and to them, seeking publicity diminished the purity of science. But Salk himself seemed uncomfortable with fame, focusing instead on reassuring the public that his motives were genuine. And when Edward R. Murrow asked him who owned the vaccine's patent, he famously replied,
"Who owns the patent on this vaccine?"
"Well, the people, I would say. There is no patent. This is... Could you patent the sun?"
His refusal to patent the vaccine strengthened public trust, but it also further distanced him from colleagues who saw it as self-promotion rather than selflessness. And Salk quietly acknowledged this divide, going on in later interviews to say he was, quote, "content to be judged by the children walking today," end quote. 70 years later, polio is nearly eradicated, but vaccine skepticism has returned. Misinformation travels a lot faster today than it did 70 years ago, and trust in medical institutions is in a fragile state. And I think Salk's story matters because it reminds us trust isn't peripheral, it's central to medicine. Parents today aren't all that different from parents back then. They worry, they seek clarity, reassurance, and ultimately proof. And I think Salk's approach wasn't necessarily to dismiss fear. He actually acknowledged it pretty openly and patiently and respectfully. He let outsiders validate his work, and he translated complexity into simple language. And he opted to openly show his motives. Today's clinicians face these conversations regularly, whether they're about new RSV vaccines or COVID boosters, or even the decades-old polio vaccine itself. And I think the way forward is the same one trailblazed by Dr. Salk. That is, transparent conversations, clear explanations, and an openness about their motivations. Skepticism isn't always about science, it's about uncertainty. And the antidote to uncertainty isn't lectures, it's trust, built through conversation. Here at Curie, we'd love to hear your experiences. How do you build trust when vaccine doubts arise in your practice? Feel free to record a voice memo in the Curie app, and we'll share a few of your experiences in an upcoming episode. That's it for today. I'm Andrew. This is Curie. Thanks for listening.